Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates to debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros, a little bit of housekeeping. How are you? I'm doing fantastic. Abby and I finally found a place to live. It was a little bleak there for a second, but we found a really great deal with a family friend, and we're super excited. We are moving into this really cool 1918 farmhouse here in San Diego, and like the secret passageways and like nooks and crannies alone. If you're into that kind of stuff, make sure you're following on social media because I will be sharing our journey of moving in and doing our own little remodels and all of the cool stuff that we find. So that's the number one thing. That's the biggest thing. I'm actually going to Home Depot today, you know, I'm going to make a day of it, get some paint, and we're going to start painting. I'm so excited. It's so cute. I know. Anyway, the second thing I wanted to say thank you to our new Patreon members. So thank you so much to Sarah Van Tassel, Olivia Jolly, and Elizabeth DeWorth. You guys are awesome. I am so excited to welcome you to our little club over there. And the coolest thing is today is the first day that this episode actually will include bonus content. So there are two little bonus parts on the Patreon. One about the six qualities of a Mary Kay consultant. And two, a little bit about baptism and death, which was something I had never even heard of before. So if you're over on the Patreon, you have access to that. And if you want to hear those little bits, join the Patreon. We have $5 and $10 tiers, and we would love to have you. So thank you to all of my patrons over there. You guys are amazing. And I will be sharing some more behind the scenes things over there later on. Anyway, on to the episode. And I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed making it.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. Today, we're going to be talking about one of those big baddies that we like to talk about, Mary Kay. You know, we've had a couple Mary Kay episodes on the show, and we've kind of dipped our toe into that pool. But I got an email from our guest that said, those Mary Kay episodes are pretty good. But, and you know, when I get that sort of but, like, I want to know what that but is. So I would love to welcome to the show Jennifer Cook. Hi.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to talk to you. I mean, I feel like I know about as much about Mary Kay as everybody that's listening. It's like, it's the pink Cadillac. I've been to Mary Kay recruitment parties. I owned Mary Kay stuff. It's all about the eye makeup remover. Like, I get it. I had customers in LuLaRoe that were red jackets that came and were looking for things that match their red jacket. They bring their red jacket in and look for LuLaRoe that match. So like, that's kind of like the extent of my Mary Kay knowledge. And then what I've been told on the show, but your email, you were just like, it was like, here's all the things they missed. And I was like, when can you chat? It's so great to have you. I'm so excited to hear your journey. Let's start with the beginning. Let's talk about where you were in your life with Mary Kay when it came knocking and what that looked like.
So I did my first stint with Mary Kay back in, I guess it was 1993. My husband and I were on a break. We were boyfriend and girlfriend then. And I signed up under somebody, a woman who targeted me at a fair, and she asked me to come to her skincare party at her house. And I went, and of course she had, you know, ceiling to floor product, and her husband was there and did the whole half your face thing, which blows my mind, but they would do half your face for you. And then you do the other half and you'd leave looking like professional on one side and like hodgepodge on the other side.
It reminds me of that movie, The Other Sister. Did you ever see that, where she goes to the mall to get her makeup done and they only do half of her face?
Yeah.
I could imagine it was something very similar to that.
Same kind of thing. So afterwards she, you know, told me that I was one of the people she'd love to work with, and would I be willing to come to her meeting on Monday? And so I went, and then she bought my kit for me and ordered $600 wholesale of inventory in my name.
So you agreed to sign up, and then she tacked on all this extra stuff on her own credit card.
On her own credit card, yeah.
And had it shipped to you.
But that's not the worst part. Then she billed me for it. Like, she would send me. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And at the time, I didn't really have any extra money. So it was kind of a shit show, for lack of a better word.
But it's like, how is she going to expect you to, like, she can't just buy you things and then be like, here's the bill for it. Like, you right. didn't even ask for that. You didn't know that there was going to be some mm-hmm. caveat of, I'm going to charge you for it and send you a monthly bill. What happened? Did you pay it? Did you ignore it?
I ignored it for the first 4 months. So I never saw her again. I had all this product and it just sat in my closet, really, because I was young. At that point, I was born in 74, so almost 20. I sat in my closet. I'm like, I don't know what to do with all this crap. I ended up donating it to Goodwill because I started getting these bills. I'm like, I'm not paying this. And I asked her if she wanted it back. She's like, I have too much product anyway, so I don't need it back.
Wow.
I
said, well,
I'm not doing this. So, you know, now, knowing what I know now, I know that she needed that ghost account to meet numbers. She was a Cadillac driving director. And a woman that you would have thought was totally filled with faith and love for the Lord and all of that. And so I really thought she was a great woman at the time, but I was looking back on it, I'm like, how were you so naive, Jen?
Right. But here's the other thing. You're 100% not the only person she's done this to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She had a Cadillac.
The audacity to just send somebody a bill. Thanks for being my ghost account.
That was $1,200 retail. And that's a qualified order. So you're a qualified consultant. And a qualified consultant, as you know from LuLaRoe, is what you always want, because those are the people that count for prizes and cars and bonuses and all of that stuff. I was in another relationship at the time, and he was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the best thing. You're going to win, you know, all this prize. You're going to get a free car. And anyway, I'm like, I'm not doing any of that. Like, this shit's going back. It's going somewhere, because I don't want any part of this. I felt swindled. So my husband and I, we were together for 2 years, broke up for 2 years, and we've been together ever since, married. The breakup was when we were boyfriend and girlfriend. It wasn't a divorce or anything. We were both were very young. And so we got back together, and his mom was a Mary Kay sales director.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah. So she took me to, a recruiting event. I love the woman. I really do. She passed tragically in 2003. I'm not going to share a ton of her story because I feel like it's not my story to share. I wanted to be on my mother-in-law's good side, right? So I signed up again. And I started with a full store of inventory. A full store of inventory is $3,600 wholesale, which is $72 retail.
Wow.
That's a lot of remover. I put it on a credit card. I was young. So at this point, so 1995-ish, got the Mary Kay credit card because, you know, they pushed that one. Well, you earn free. I forget what you earned for free with that card, but it was an easy card to get. And it was a high interest rate, and it was bad. I really wanted to please her. So I started recruiting and I started selling, and I was selling a lot. Like, I sent you pictures of my weekly accomplishment sheets that I have in this handy dandy scrapbook. And usually I'd sold about $600 a week, but I'd order like $1,200 and $1,800 wholesale a week, which when you have a full store, you're only supposed to order 60% of your sales go back into your inventory to build up, and 40% can be your profit. But I wanted all the new and greatest things, right? So, and I wanted that red jacket, which, it's funny, I was at a girls' weekend a couple weeks ago, and my best friend, her mom was also a sales director, and she has some crazy stories too. And she's like, that red jacket though, it's like, it had this gold encrusted, like, it's just awful. I'm looking at the picture and I'm like, oh my gosh, it was just a cult. Looking back,
absolutely,
at it, so much of it was a cult. I sold, I replenished, I bought more than I should, I recruited. And then it got to the point where it was like, well, it'd be awesome if you're a sales director. And I was like, okay, I can do that, you know, because I'm a people pleaser by nature. And so I was like, I can totally do that. So I started recruiting. And I think most people I had on my team was about 8 people, which is when you can go into DIQ, director and qualification. And I went in 3 times and I failed 3 times. And each time I came out with more debt than I went into it with, just because I was trying to make the production numbers.
And what does that mean? How do you get DIQ?
DIQ is director and qualification. To go into DIQ, you need and it may have changed in the, you know, last 10 years, but back then you needed 8 qualified recruits to submit your intention to be a director on qualification. Then from there, you have 4 months to finish the director on qualification to make you a director. And you had to have, as a team, $4,000 in wholesale production a month. And each person can recruit under you to count towards your 30. 30 is a director. If you have 30 people between you and all your legs, $16,000 wholesale production at the end of the 4 months. And then you're magically a director and you get to buy a St. John's suit from the company to wear at events.
Oh my God. That is so much. And you have to do it 4 consecutive months in a row.
Yeah. $4,000. But then they also had the Fab 50, or they call it the Fab 50 directors, where they would debut with 50. And of course, I'm like, I can totally do that. I could debut with 50. I couldn't even keep 8 active on my team. But then you also have this rolling active calendar, right? So you place an order in January, you're active January, February, March. In April, you need to place a minimum of 250 again to stay active. So you're constantly trying to keep a third in, a third's on their way out, and a third are just treading water.
Like, like even saying that, like, that's not a viable business. Like, that's like, it seems like a scam. Even being like, one third of the people on your team, they're already on their way out. One third is drowning and the other third is like pretty okay. So most of the people are not doing great.
No, they're not. And I even had somebody on my team that, because we would have weekly meetings on Mondays. There were these big rah-rah meetings. And one of the things that drove me batshit crazy is I'm not a big rah-rah person at all. Like, I'm totally an introvert. But I would go to these meetings and the sales directors in the special St. John suits, when they were introduced to train you or to do an award or something like that, you would have to stand and clap for them. They would get a standing ovation. And one time I asked, why are we standing for the sales directors to clap? And they're like, oh, it's because they worked so hard to get to where they're at. And looking back now, I'm like, you know what they did? They worked their asses off to be they were at. But I still didn't, I felt like it was like a false sense of idol to a celebrity to clap for these, because I mean, it's constant up and down, you know, right? It's like,
absolutely. It's a love bombing convention. Let's put all these people up who have jumped through ridiculous hoops, spent exorbitant amounts of money, lied and cheated as many people as they possibly could to get here. Let's clap for them, because we need them to understand that it was worth it. And this whole standing ovation and being on stage and getting a picture you can share on Instagram, Facebook, just with your friends, whatever. And again, I know this was years ago, but that's the mindset now. Like, that it's worth it.
I'm so glad I wasn't in right now in this social. I was getting out in 2010. So that was about the time that social media was really taking off, because I truly believe if I was still in social media, I could have sold a shit ton of product. Like, I asked my husband once, I said, why do you think I was so good at Mary Kay? I'm in real estate now. I'm a realtor. And he said, because you kind of had a hard upbringing. My dad was an alcoholic, and you were able to kind of be a chameleon to whatever group of people that you were in. Not that I'm fake, because I'm actually pretty genuine. I can make myself feel comfortable by blending in, I guess you could say.
I'm the same exact way. And again, it's like this childhood trauma of like you being in these situations and having to disassociate to be in other situations where it's not like traumatic for you. So that was me in high school too. I was friends with everybody. And it was just like, I really enjoy these people and the conversations that we have. Mm-hmm. I'm exactly the same way. I totally get it.
Yeah. So I'm glad you get it. So at these Monday meetings, I had a team member that come to find out she was selling like $1,000 a week. And I'm like, wow, I'm not going to say her name, but you're awesome. Like, but she wasn't ordering the $600 a week. So come to find out, she was so starved for recognition and attention that, because I could see my team's reports, you know, what they're ordering. And then her weekly summary sheets were saying, oh, I sold $1,000 this week. Well, you're not ordering $600 to back up those sales. And I know that you didn't start with a full store. Long story short, she was lying just to get the recognition.
She was falsifying sales. Yeah. There was no product exchange. It was just like, yeah, I sold a lipstick, put that in.
Yeah. Cause it was just, it was a computer program that you just put it in because you had your own store, right? You had all this product and you'd order this. And it was totally, when you talk about a dopamine hit, you order the product, that's a dopamine hit. You get the product, that's a dopamine hit. You put these ridiculous labels on the back, that's a dopamine hit. You think you're a store because you're putting it in your store front, you know, or you put it in your carrying case to take to classes. So at the time I was doing 2 to 3 classes a week. And that would involve me going out of my house and taking all this product because we would want to set up a complete set, which was, I forget how much they were, probably $200 or so, in front of each facial tray so that we could refer to them as your TimeWise cleanser and your TimeWise moisturizer. And doesn't your time, you know, doesn't it feel great? And so I would sell collections like that. And then we were also taught that if people couldn't buy it, to put them on a payment plan so their husband wouldn't know. And then I'm just like, oh my gosh. And sometimes people would pay and sometimes they wouldn't. And I didn't feel comfortable calling them and saying, hey, you still owe me money for X, Y, Z. So I would just let it go and write it off.
It's like none of it's all a scam. It's all just women like scamming other women and calling it a business.
Right. So, but going to these events and even going to the classes, we were required. It was in our, I don't know if it was in the agreement, but we were strongly encouraged to wear nylons and a skirt or a dress. And we weren't allowed to show up in jeans or flip-flops or, and if you had a red jacket, you know, you want to wear that because that shows that you're professional and people will take you more seriously. And we're also taught to say their name as much as we can because it's the most beautiful word in their language. Oh, so I'd be like, Roberta, your TimeWise cleanser, you know, you put it on like this. Doesn't that feel great, Roberta? Roberta, I'd love to have you on my team. What do you feel? How do you feel about that? You know, I found that that's the other one. Feel, felt, found. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but if somebody comes up with an objection, they're like, my husband wouldn't let me. And so you would say, I understand how you feel. I felt that way too, even though I didn't. When my husband decided, you know, that it probably wasn't a good fit for me, but I found it's really given us the financial security that we needed and we're lacking in our homes.
Oh my God.
I mean, I could spout this shit off all day. And, you know, I texted my sister-in-law this weekend and I said, hey, I'm going on Roberta's podcast because I didn't tell very many people because it's so out of my comfort zone. But if I could save one person from making these mistakes, and I have so much more, then I've kind of done my job. And she sent me this huge list. Make sure you touch on this and this.
And this. I love it.
And I had most of it on my, and you know, her mom was a sales director, my mother-in-law, and it brought her a lot of joy. And it brought my father-in-law a lot of joy. But when she passed, we uncovered some things that were, it wasn't what it seemed. And that's kind of all I'll say there. The love bombing, the need for appreciation and recognition, I think is a lot of what women are lacking in their lives and they're searching for. And they're finding it in these MLMs and these cults.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is what I wanted when I went looking too. I didn't want to just be so-and-so's wife, so-and-so's mom, so-and-so's friend. Like, I was like, I have my own identity. Like, why doesn't anybody see this? And I was struggling with that. I'm like, I have a name, you know, and I really felt that way. And Absolutely these businesses know that because they're cults and they're scams. They know that. They know exactly how to manipulate people to get them to do exactly what they want. It's all psychological.
And they also use their families. I wrote down a quote that it's actually, I was writing, just journaling, and this is what came out. It says, the makeup and the skincare was a mask hiding my own insecurity. Because I'm an open book and wear my heart on my sleeve, the directors who knew me best knew my weaknesses and my vulnerabilities and used them against me to get me to work harder, order more product, which was their vehicle to their dream.
Absolutely. Fuck yeah. Absolutely.
I was like, wow. You know, and my mother-in-law was not pushy with me at all. She walked a very fine line between director and mother-in-law. And I always appreciated that, but I also always wanted to spend more time in her space. We had very different personalities. We got along, but we had very different personalities. And I just wanted to do all I could to, you know, be a good daughter-in-law. And so like the retreats, that's one thing my sister-in-law, she had said to me, talk about the retreats. And these retreats were twice a year, usually like spring and fall. And you had to qualify. And just to qualify, you would have to like hold 10 classes, recruit 2 people, place a $600 wholesale order. Do 3 of these 5 things to qualify to hang out with the big girls, which were all the other sales directors in the area. And so they would get us there, and then we had to turn off our phones. If our phone rang during something that was being trained on or something, one of my own team members, they told her her kidney was in. Okay. And then we'd room with 4 people, 2 people to a bed, once I slept on a floor so it could be more affordable for me. And then to keep costs down, just so that you could attend. And then you spend this whole weekend pretty much being brainwashed by, you know, how to become them, how to look better, how to sell better, how to recruit better. You know the drill, you've been there, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking like, I remember the LuLaRoe. I slept in a bed with someone I had just met that weekend. Someone right. on my team that I'd known, but I'd only met them in person that day. And I was like, yeah, sure. Come on in. Let's snuggle.
It's so weird. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was on a girls' weekend, and my best friend, my childhood best friend of like 25 years, we shared a bed because I don't get to see her very often. It was a king size bed, but I still put like a pillow barrier between us. She's like, Jen, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. I just don't want to like try to cuddle with you in the middle of the night or something. Like, and I don't want to be cuddled with. So, you know, but I still keep it when you're rooming with people you barely know. It's God bless my husband. Like, he never said anything bad about Mary Kay. And I think he took his cues from watching his dad support his mom. Only when we get credit card statements would there be and I'm like, well, I needed to order for such and such. He's like, okay, well, you're selling, right? I'm like, yep, I'm selling, but I wasn't, you know? And so it did cause a little bit of debt that we had to get out of and that I regret. The seminars. Have you talked to anybody about seminars in Dallas, Texas in the summer?
No, let's talk about Mary Kay Texas seminars in the summer. Yes.
One, you must go. Like, you can't tell them you can't go because then you're being negative. You must go. And you must get arena seating. The arena seating was seating within the arena, or there's Hall A seating. And Hall A seating is you're at seminar, but you're watching seminar from a TV screen in a ballroom somewhere. They're always in July or August, which is deathly hot there and miserable. We always had to wear nylons and skirts in the heat. Little sleep. You room with 4 to 5 ladies, 1 bathroom, 2 to a bed, up late, up early. There was a place called My Girlfriend's House, and it was where all the vendors were for seminar, because thousands of people are going to these things. And they would try to sell you, you know, the blingy pins and the bags, but they had a roped off area that was for sales directors only to shop at to get their cheap prizes at that they would give away. We were often told, well, make directors so you can come shop with the big girls. And I'm like, I'm 22. Aren't I a big girl? Like, this is ridiculous. Awards night, they would bill it as the Miss America of Mary Kay. So it's like Miss America, because all these, you dress up in ball gowns, basically, the people who are going across stage and receiving their rings and their bees for recruiting and just all the things. So many women are desperate for the recognition that they really stop at nothing to make the ranks just for the applause of people that they don't know. People like themselves that know 98% of what they're seeing on stage is fake. Many people bought their seminar rewards with their own production or ghost accounts. That was pretty big.
Wow. And,
you know, I saw a meme this week and it said, and I was like, well, ladies, if you need recognition that bad, then change your alarm clock to clapping at 6 a.m. when you wake up. Because, oh my God. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, so many people need to hear that because it's so accurate. And I would strive every year to, you know, recruit enough people to win that gold diamond bumblebee thing that I probably never would have worn outside of Mary Kay because it was gaudy. My mother would have worn it, but not me.
And I remember the bumblebee thing. My aunt sold Mary Kay, and I remember her sort of, and I love my aunt. And again, she was part of the whole thing. So there's nothing against her at all, but I do remember her trying to recruit me, and I was probably 18 or 19. And even into like going into beauty school, it was like, oh, this will be perfect because makeup and on your station. It was always trying to recruit me. And because I loved her, I would go to these things because I wanted to spend time with her. So I would go to Mary Kay meetings at like ballrooms and, you know, Holiday Inn, like conference centers and things just to hang out there, just to have snacks and dinner and hang out.
Right.
And I remember that bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
Always that. And I was like, I don't get the bumblebee. And they're like, well, a bumblebee is so big, his tiny wings shouldn't let him fly, but the bumblebee doesn't know that. And so he flies anyway. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's a cute story, but okay, no.
Yeah. And you know, and you probably remember the ladders because we were rewarded with how many wholesale orders we placed. So we had the stars on the ladders going up.
Oh my God. Yes. And the stars on the ladders. Yes. Yeah.
I was trying to dig under my bed because my jewelry box, my just cheap, crappy jewelry is under the bed. And I was like, I wonder if I still have it to like wear, but I couldn't get under there because all my clothes are under there. But yeah, the ladder. And then, you know, at 5, 10, and 15 years, you'd get a pin. And it was all about like what pins you had. And the production, I was looking back in the day, it was also like quarterly contests. And you would with these random prizes.
Oh my God. That's like selling magazines in middle school. And then going into like the prize being like, I can win the prize. A scooter and a Super Bowl.
This particular one, $6,000 wholesale over 3 months, got you a Coach handbag. $7,800 wholesale. And this is from, I don't even know what year, 2000. Got you a DVD player or a luggage set.
But like $6,000 in cash would have bought you a Louis Vuitton.
Right.
And now you've got a Coach like satchel and $6,000 worth of makeup in your garage.
And probably debt too. Like the end consumer, you're right. You always say the end consumer is the consultant. It's true. Like they are. The consultant are their friends.
Right. Yeah. There's a few non-consultants that end up being the end consumer. And the statistic is it's about 10% of product makes it outside. It's a lot of ghost accounts and buying things and back and forth and back and forth.
One of the ladies that I was most enamored by, I will not say her name. She's a national sales director, but she was one of the youngest to do it the fastest. Everybody wanted to be the next her, but then I found an account called Pink Truth back when I was trying to get out in 2010.
Ooh, we love Tracy Conan on this show.
I'll email you the name of the person to search her name because the amount of narcissism is just sickening. And the fact that I idolized her and wanted to do it the way she did it and get to DIQ, and she's probably 10 years younger than me. It's just sickening out. And just for fun, I follow her on Instagram and see what she's up to, but she's actually changing directions, I think, and going more into an influencer path. Don't see as much about the good old Mary Kay on there. So in 2003, my mother-in-law passed away and she was my director. And so we all were rolled up to her director. So it was our senior director. And for 12 years, she was my director, but wasn't my recruiter. That's when some of the crazy crap happened. I mean, it just gets crazier.
Do you ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there on the internet just for anyone to find? I promise it's more than you think. Your name, contact info, social security number, home address, even information about your family members. It's all being compiled by data brokers and openly sold online. This can lead to a lot of problems, including identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. But now you can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Signing up for the service is super easy. Just provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. They send you regular personalized privacy reports showing what info they found, where they found it, and what they removed. I got my report and I was floored with the results. Of the 105 data brokers they checked, 83 of them had my data. Delete Me then removed 173 listings of my personal data off the internet, and they make sure that it stays off too. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me at a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and use promo code MLM at checkout. The only way to get the 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and enter code MLM at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/MLM, code MLM.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of these crazy cult things that Mary Kay has, because we all know that MLMs are cults. And I love giving as many examples as possible because I think people go, oh my gosh, I didn't think about it like that. Not all MLMs look the same in terms of being a cult. Some are way more controlling than others. Amway is very obsessed with people's marriages, things like that. LuLaRoe was really obsessed with that too. Some people are just cultier than others. You know, you look at Nexium, that was very culty. So I want to talk about the cultiness of Mary Kay, because Mary Kay is very culty.
One of the toxic things is the constant toxic positivity, right? Like you can't have any real life things going on, like you're having a bad day or somebody died or things like that. One of the things at seminar that they would do is we would sometimes start the seminar day in the arena singing the enthusiastic song. And I'm totally tone deaf, so I was in advance. But it got that Mary Kay enthusiasm deep in my heart, deep in my heart, deep in my heart. I got that Mary Kay enthusiasm deep in my heart. Thanks. That was one of them. Or
wow.
I'm alert, alive, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake. I'm alert, awake, alive. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic about life.
No.
Yeah, I'm not a robot person.
It's just weird. It's just like unexpected.
Yeah.
But so, also at the same time, like I'm not surprised at all.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, because you know what you know about these MLMs, right? You know, I tell somebody who doesn't know and they're like, you did what? I'm like, oh yeah. So complete with jazz hands and everything. So she was my director. And then I knew a woman that I knew very well. And she would have us call this hotline number every day, and she would take attendance, and you call this number. It was like before Instagram or kind of really text messages. And she would give you like a 2-minute motivational talk over this recording. And then it would beep like an old answering machine. And you'd say, hey, this is Jennifer. I really enjoyed such and such. And I have 5 classes scheduled this week, 3 interviews, and I have 1 recruit I'm working with. And you were supposed to call this thing daily, like Monday through Friday. So we did. She was also a senior sales director who was trying to reach the ranks of national sales director. And when you're a national sales director, that's the top of the company. When you're national, you have to reach national before you're 60 or 65. I don't know what that age was, but she was very close to those ages. So
there's
the push
an age
was
limit?
Yeah. Yep, an age limit. You have to reach that in order to collect retirement. I don't know if there's an age limit to reaching it, but in order to collect your retirement that Mary Kay paid, you had to reach by 60 or 65. The pressure was on, especially after my mother-in-law died and we rolled up, that kind of essentially removed that layer. So we would now be directors under her.
I have a question. So, and this is something that's never happened or that I've never been able to experience or ask questions about. Like when someone dies in an MLM and, you know, sorry for the loss of your mother-in-law, but when someone dies, is it the same as someone leaving? Like they just disappear and everything just rolls up into the space? Or like what happened to her team and everybody?
Yeah, they rolled up to her director.
Passing away is the same as leaving. There's no distinction between any of those things.
Right. Yeah. So we rolled up. My sister-in-law pointed out, which I hadn't, was true about this new director that we had, was she definitely made us all feel needed for her national sales director area. Within a week of her mother, so my mother-in-law, dying, she was pushing her to be a director. She said she needed a director to replace mom as much as I needed a mother figure.
Wow.
So
okay. Wow.
It was a very,
that is yeah. so manipulative. Yeah.
Because, you wow. know, she lost a director. So then she's
to even compare the two is like not even fair at all.
So my mother-in-law died in June, and I think my sister-in-law got out in December. She was just like, I'm done. Like, and she had a ton of customers because she was taking care of her mom's customers and all that. She's like, I just can't do this with these two, you know, she had, I think, two girls at the time. And she's like running to the post office to mail product. And so it never happened. She didn't become a national sales director. I looked her up just recently. And what was really sad is I was asking her if I should have a baby. Who does that? I mean, that's how much I looked up to her and thought that she had my best interest. She never got an estate. She would always say it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission regarding ordering or going to an event or anything like that. She would say, show up to go up. We had a fiscal year, so everything ended on June 30th. It's funny how all the production was in by June 30th, but then in July, you know, they're still pushing you to order more, even though you stretched yourself to the possible ends of the earth to meet their goal.
It just seems like it's never enough.
Exactly. That's exactly what it felt like. I felt like no matter what I did, I couldn't win. If I was giving it all to Mary Kay, it was taken away from my children. So in 2004, let's say, I was pregnant. I had a four-year-old. We just bought a home, a new car. My mom gave my son a dog, pick of the litter. He was over there with her puppy. Puppies. She's like, you can have pick of the litter. I mean, this short period of time, we had all this stuff going on. And then I was put on bed rest. And my director would call me and she's like, there's lots you can do on bed rest. You can still make phone calls. And I'm like, okay. So I was on bed rest on my couch with friends unpacking my house, making phone calls to customers trying to get orders, you know, to place a wholesale order.
Never enough.
Never enough. She came over when we bought our new house. So I had my daughter and my first daughter, and she came over to see our new house that July when all this was happening. And she's like, you know, your loft area looks just like the first office I ever had as the sales director. She's like, you're going to make such a good use of this space, just like I did. And
what
then
a, what a weird thing to say though, like what a nice office. You'll definitely be successful with an right. office like this. Like that's the mm-hmm. weirdest. Like,
it is. It's so toxic. so toxic.
You're in this mindset. You're a young mom. You're a wife. You lose your mother-in-law, all of this. You're all in with Mary Kay. You're just doing it all day, even though it's never enough. You're just working even harder. How neglected was your actual family?
I think, so my daughter was premature. So she was 4 weeks premature and I was pumping and bottle feeding her. And I remember just doing that repeatedly. And I had a very traumatic delivery with her. They had to leave my C-section open and pack it. I had to have a home health nurse come and pack it to heal during all this. I had postpartum depression hard and it was all consuming. They put me on an antidepressant. I've been on antidepressants before and still am. And they put me on one that was safe for breastfeeding mothers because the one I usually take isn't. I remember she was probably 4 weeks old, laying in bed and just crying. And I'm like, I can't get out of bed. Like I just can't. And that's when I think it hit me that it was just never enough. And no matter how many goal posters I made or vision boards I made or laminated pink Cadillacs that I hung from my ceiling in my shower to remind me of my goals, it wasn't going to materialize. At that point, I also realized we had quite a bit of debt from just Mary Kay alone. My son would make these vision boards with me and he would put the Millennium Falcon on there. And then it got to be the Death Star, and Death Star is like $600 or something like that. Back then it was on there. And it still to this day breaks my heart that I never got him that. And he's 22 years old. And he actually mentioned it to me yesterday. We were texting back and forth. And you know, when you're 22, you think you have the world figured out. And we were texting about something and sacrifices that I had made during his childhood. He goes, I saw how hard you worked in Mary Kay. I remember pasting that Death Star onto that vision board. And he didn't say anything about it not happening, but I still feel bad. Like, I still feel like I need to buy him this $500 Death Star. And I could now, like, I'm in a financial position where I could totally just go to the store and do that. But I don't think he'd put it together now. So, as far as my husband, we had a lot of arguments about money and about time I was spending away from home. My husband has always been very, and still to this day, is very gracious about things I want to do. But back then, I think like the Monday night meetings, if I was doing 3 + 3 + 3, which was 3 classes a week, $300 in sales at each class and 3 recruiting interviews every week, that's a lot of time away from home when you have an infant and a 4-year-old. My son, when he was probably 6 or 7, he was in probably first grade. He told his teacher, they're talking about what their parents do for jobs. And my son said, my mommy gets dressed up really pretty at night and goes to work.
Oh no.
So then I go to conferences and she asked me that, like, I didn't know he'd said that. So I went to conferences and she goes, well, I just was curious, what do you do for work? And I said, oh, I'm an independent sales consultant with Mary Kay Cosmetics. I said, have you ever tried our products? And she just looked at me. My physician, I tried to recruit my own doctor. And now I'm like, she probably thought I was a total idiot.
I can even just imagine your husband where you've got like laminated things hanging in the shower to motivate.
He never
like,
what did
he say? He never said
anything.
Maybe he, it's you, because no. He's the son of a Mary Kay director. This is it. This is what you do.
And we were encouraged to some of the stuff they had us do for our husbands to keep them happy. Nothing like LuLaRoe, but they would have us tape $100 onto a mirror with write in lipstick, this is for you, go golfing, or, you know, my husband plays guitars, go buy yourself a guitar, or, you know, to include them in the vision. And then they would also, I went to this one sales director, because these national sales directors would come into town and they would charge like $30 to go watch them or listen to them speak and give you their wisdom at their feet. Right. And so you're like, well, let's see how they got there. And she goes, she was one of the oldest ones and she was trained by Mary Kay herself. And she said, okay, ladies. So when your husband asks what's for dinner, you always need to have a chopped up onion in your fridge so that when he's pulling in the driveway, you put a hot pan on with a pat of butter and you start frying up that onion while you figure out what's for dinner.
Ooh, what are you cooking as opposed to what have you done all day?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that I can't believe I fell for some of the shit, Roberta.
It's just like such toxic patriarchal bullshit. Like, it's just like, do you want to be a good little wife for your big strong man? Like, it's so right. Deanne.
Yeah. When watching Lula Rich, it was very, I felt, and my best friend also felt, that it was Deanne took a lot of her own training that she taught you guys from Mary Kay Ash. Like having the hair done and having the makeup on and having, you know, what makes this successful. And
her mom actually wrote a book called like The Secret Power of Femininity. So she was raised in that like horrible environment already. I would not be surprised. Also, Deanne was in Amway at one point. So again, it's all of these very toxic environments and they all repeat. It's all the same regurgitated stuff in all of these things. So all you're hearing from every single angle is how you have to put on lipstick and please your man, a happy husband, and you can buy whatever you want. Like, it's insane.
Right. It's the ask for forgiveness and don't ask for permission type of thing. You know, it's
not 1952 anymore.
You know, it's not. And it's to this day, I won't go outside my home without mascara and lipstick. I just won't, because it was so ingrained into my head that you need a full face of makeup every day. And if I don't have makeup on, people are like, you look sick. Like, are you feeling okay? Even during COVID, I wore a full face of makeup every single day. And yeah, it's just so ingrained in me. So anyway, regarding my family, my son never got the Death Star. So my daughter, my middle daughter, grew up a little bit. So she was 2004 to 2010. So like 6 years. I would take her to Mary Kay meetings with me because I thought that she would get some, you know, I don't know, wisdom parted on her. She went to her first Mary Kay meeting when she was 4 weeks old in a dress, no nylons, but in a dress. We often heard fake it till you make it. That's when I can't have all these.
What about your youngest daughter? Was she was the premature one. So did she miss most of the Mary Kay stuff?
So my youngest was actually 6 weeks. I have two premature daughters. My youngest missed all the Mary Kay. I was out before she was born. Thank God. And, you know, I remember sitting there and it was a totally different experience having her and not having Mary Kay on my plate because I didn't have to pretend to be working. My husband didn't make me pretend to be working, but I always had to report to my director what I was doing that day. And I remember just sitting there holding her and a memory popped up on Facebook. And I think I said, there's no more important place to be than right here, right now. And it's so true. And I really think that she got a different mom than my first two did, which makes me a little sad because I was blessed to be a stay-at-home mom and I didn't have to work. And I chose the Mary Kay to do kind of as a time filler. And I missed out on some. My son took his first steps in a sea of product that I was sorting through. And I was blessed to be there and see those first steps, but I wasn't fully present. It was, you know, I just wasn't fully present is the best way I can describe it.
I think even the juxtaposition of seeing that and understanding what it was like to raise a baby in the environment of being in an MLM where someone's checking up on you constantly mm-hmm. versus getting to raise a baby where it's like, nobody is checking up except people that actually care about me.
That actually care. And, you know, I sent my product back in 2010, which is a big no-no. So Mary Kay has a 90% buyback on any product you've purchased in the last year. So I had a lot of old products. So what I did is I told my customers, I'm going out of business. This is your last chance to order. Please order through me. This would help me a lot. And so they ordered a bunch of products. So I was able to send back more. I still didn't send back all of it because I have probably had $8,000 or $9,000 in wholesale inventory, which is 18,000 retail. It's double. And that's a lot of makeup. And they constantly changed it, right? They would have these seasonal things, which you've talked about on your show, where you know, get the new eye colors and get the new lip colors and get this and get that. And so my middle daughter has a condition called trichotillomania, and it causes her to pull out her hair. And Jenny Wild, I reached out to her about it. And so she started that when she was six. So that was 2010. And that's when I realized I have bigger fish to fry than this. And fortunately, you know, she's lived with it since she was six. She started with her eyelashes, went to her eyebrows, and started with her hair at 11. And she's worn her hair shaved since she was 11. And she's 17 now. I switched my focus kind of from Mary Kay to going to conferences with her to learn from some of the best in the industry and the best doctors around the world. I couldn't even tell my director that I was dealing with that because I know all she would have probably said is, oh, that's so terrible, but you know, we have a great eyebrow pencil.
Right? Like, don't even worry about it. Like, we can fix that too. Amazing that you reached out to Jenny. Jenny is like the best person to talk about trichotillomania with. She's incredible. So
I sent it to my daughter and I'm like, oh my gosh, follow her account. And so fortunately my daughter is very open about it and isn't, you know, she's not hiding and the wig was not for her. Like,
was the trichotillomania diagnosis like the final straw for you with Mary Kay?
It was definitely one of them because she started pulling out her eyelashes and she had such beautiful hair that people would stop us on the street to comment on her hair. Her hair was crazy thick. It had red undertones. She just had beautiful hair. It's still a little heartbreaking, but she's thriving in life. And that's really all I can ask for is she's showing up in life. She's thriving from all of this. She shares her story openly. She has a boyfriend. Her sister has more compassion from it. Her brother is super proud of her and has compassion. I always wondered how it would affect my children, but it's actually been a blessing. It's been harder on me, I think, than it has been on them, just because you're grieving what you thought it was going to look like, right?
It's always harder on us when our children make decisions that we didn't expect or do things we didn't expect or like encounter things that we weren't prepared for. Absolutely.
So it was one of the final straws. So I packed up my product and I sent it back and I told my husband, I said, I'm sending my product back. And he's like, okay. It's so him. He's just like, okay, whatever. I don't know if you know much about the Enneagram or the Enneagram, but I'm a 9 and he's an 8. So he's very quick thinking, decision-making. I'm like, well, what do you think I should do? And so my sister-in-law had sent it back and I knew from her that after she sent it back, she didn't have any more contact with her director, who is still my director. And my director would often talk to me and say, well, I don't know why she sent it back. And I'm like, well, she's really busy and, you know, has kids. I didn't tell my director. I stopped selling. I stopped going to meetings. I didn't go to seminar that year. I think that was probably a red flag for her because I had been the previous 5 years. I sent it back. Ironically, I sent it back the last week of June, which was during the fiscal year. And I knew that that would hit her. I didn't do it on purpose. That's what was best for me. I knew it would hit her bonus check, her last production in June. And it did. But the minute it goes back and you request that buyback form, they tell your director so that your director will call you and, you know, try to get you to stay a little bit longer. You know the story.
But I mean, I feel like your director should know, because isn't she the one that told you that 1/3 are in, 1/3 are on their way out, and 1/3 are drowning? So like you're in the 1/3 that's now on their way out now.
I was drowning and, you know, she's the bathtub analogy. Like you have to leave it running. You have to leave that bathtub running to keep it filled because the drain isn't stopping. So people are going out constantly. And so the new people are coming in and that's how you're keeping a bathtub full. So she called me every hour for an entire day from like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. or so. And I just let my phone ring and ring and ring. And so I sent her a brief email. I don't even know what I said. I said, thank you for the support over the years. You know, we're having some family problems. I don't like doing this anymore. Please respect that. And she didn't call anymore. But it's funny. We were in the town that this director lives in yesterday with my daughter, my oldest daughter. And I kept looking out the window and my daughter says, oh, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm just worried she's going to drive in here in her pink Cadillac and I'm going to have to like face her. I haven't seen her in all these years. She used to have us over when she got her new Cadillac every 2 years because it's a lease. You don't win it. You're, you know, leasing it based on your production to test drive it. So we knew what it was like to drive a Cadillac.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you Cadillac. Could go to any Cadillac dealership in any city, in any state across the world, country, whatever, and test drive a Cadillac if you were really curious.
Right. But that didn't even dawn on me, right? And so I went over there to test drive it one day at one of our Cadillac parties and I was so terrified I was going to wreck it. I like got down the cul-de-sac. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. But everybody was clamoring. She probably had 30 people there to test drive this Cadillac and to sell this dream. I mean, really, that's what it is. Is it's a dream that very few achieve. And
it's a
she
was dopamine fountain. She was letting everybody splash around in.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And I wish her no ill will. I'm so much happier. And you know, I asked my husband when I was writing all these notes down. I asked him. I said, "Hey, what was the most toxic thing about Mary Kay and me being in Mary Kay?" And his response was the way you acted, everyone trying to outshine everyone else and buying their way to recognition in the top.
Yeah, your husband's a smart guy.
I was surprised. He's, you know, he realized that. And
he's like, I never said anything, but you were real fake.
I was. And it was the whole fake it till you make it. And I was buying all these clothes. What stay-at-home mom needs 3-piece suits in her closet? The mantras, the affirmations, the wear this uniform, the work for this prize / car. The other thing is we were taught 100 no's to a yes for bookings. I don't know if you were ever taught that. You need 100 no's to get to a yes. my sister-in-law pointed out a very good point. And she said, can you imagine if we told boys that tactic in dating?
No.
Yeah. Like, these are the toxic things that in our homes we're saying to ourselves. I even had a sheet that was like 100 no's to a yes. And it was like 100 no's and then one yes. We had a tracking sheet.
You cross off those no's and you're like, I'm one no closer to a yes.
That's exactly what they told you. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they told you.
It's you're a game one, now.
It's a game. It's, oh, I feel like I lost out on 10 years of my son's childhood and 6 years of my daughter's, just being, not being present, being divided. And when I was doing Mary Kay, I felt like I should be at home. And when I was at home, I was felt like I should be doing Mary Kay. And I would wait for them to go to bed so that I could get on the phone and make phone calls and not watch TV with my husband. We were told TV is a waste of time. I shouldn't be watching TV. We watch a lot of TV. But
TV I say, is so great. There's so many good shows out there.
So many good ones. We were also taught to retire our husbands. That's another regret that I kind of, you know, like on, we would have these long badge things for seminar and it'd be like, this year I want to, and you'd fill in the blank. And it's everybody had retire my husband because you were taught to do
did
that.
Did your husband want to be retired?
Oh God, no. He went to school. He's a master's degree in electrical engineering and he's a reserve deputy in our county.
He's actually, Jennifer, I like working. If you could not retire me, that'd be great.
Yeah. I'm ready for him to go back to his office because he's been home for 2 years and he has a very loud voice. But, you know, there's blessings that have come with COVID too. Like my kids have got to see him working. And I think that that's a really good thing that they've got to see him on the phone and how he does his business. But,
yeah, it creates a good work ethic to watch that. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I love finding the silver linings in things.
I know. Me too. So after Mary Kay, I stayed out of Mary Kay for a while, stayed out of MLMs. And then I met somebody who sold Leah Sophia jewelry.
I remember Leah Sophia. I think it's not around anymore, right? It closed?
I don't think so. I did a brief stint in Leah Sophia. Then I was pregnant with my last child and I signed up. My best friend had found 31 gifts. And I signed up for 31. I have so many bags.
And they are they all filled with junk and like stacked on top of each other in a closet?
Yes, in closets. My husband's like, you have 31 bags. I know. So 31, I had a team in 31. I was in 31 for about 2 years and then was just done. There was nothing bad about it. It was same thing. Tons of parties, tons of recruiting. I was good at it. I didn't like being home on nights. I remember telling my best friend who recruited me, and she does another MLM now. She does Creative Memories and she's done it for like 30 years, but she does it more for the product. I said, I just don't want to be home or I don't want to be gone on nights and weekends anymore and making phone calls when my family's home and listening to me. And I don't have to work. Why am I doing this?
Do you want to know how I got sucked into 31?
Oh, how?
So I was at the San Diego Zoo on like a mom play date with my daughter, who was probably only like two. And there was a woman in front of us in the line to get on the sky buckets who had the cutest like diaper bag backpack I had ever seen in my life. It was just like a basic square backpack. It was like very boxy, but it had all these little pockets and it was like rainbow stripe. And I was like, oh my God, that is the cutest, cutest backpack. I need that backpack. It was a limited edition print that was no longer being made. So it didn't even friggin' matter. But I really wanted that backpack. And I was like, oh my God, your backpack is so cute. Where did you get that backpack? You know? And she was like, 31 gifts. And that sent me to a spiral. And then the first time I met an actual rep, I was like, oh my God, I need to have a party. Like there was no hesitation. And she's like, oh, we can do that. You know? And then that year for Christmas, because I had the party, my mom came. That year for Christmas, like, my sister and I just got a shit ton of 31 bags. It was like every 31 thing you could possibly get was what my mom had bought at the party and then gave us for Christmas that year.
Their hostess program is actually probably one of the most generous. I just had a 31 party last, I think it was last Christmas. it's still an MLM. I get that. But I got like $1,000 in free product. And I'm like, how the hell? And it came and my husband's like, what the heck? We have so many 31 bags. So,
you know, and there are MLMs out there, like you're saying right now. I mean, I don't support them and I get it.
I don't anymore.
And here's the thing. It's like, there's MLMs out there that have good product and that's part of it, right? Like no one's joining these pyramid schemes that have horrible product. And they're like, it's a scheme. I'm going to make a bunch of money. Like there are good things in these schemes. That's why people join, whether it's a good product or a good compensation plan or like a good friend or whatever. Like there are slivers, we'll call them slivers of good that hook you, get you.
And I think that that's why I stayed in Mary Kay so long is because I loved the product and I didn't want to pay full price for it, you know, and I had family and such. But to this day, I still can't find a good face wash and moisturizer like Mary Kay. But one of my best friends, it signed up for just personal use because she has three girls. And so I was ordering from her and I'm like, I'm just not even supporting it anymore. Like I will find something else. Cetaphil's working okay.
Cetaphil is a great, like basic, you can get it at the grocery store. Dermatologists recommend it. It doesn't have a lot of like side effects. I think it's non-comedogenic and all kinds of things. Cetaphil's great.
Yeah. Their eye makeup remover, Cetaphil's, is actually very similar to Mary Kay's. There you go.
And I think there's a L'Oreal one too that Laura Catone mentioned on her episode that she was like, she was so cute.
I loved listening to her and I'm like, oh, she left so much on the table. So much more.
Another thing that you briefly mentioned was LuLaRoe.
Yes.
And my ears always perk up. And you mentioned that you at one point in your email, you said at one point had joined LuLaRoe and you were actually actively in the queue and got the phone call.
Yes.
So let's walk through that.
Okay. So 2016, my mom died. It was that fall. I had seen something online about LuLaRoe and I saw that they had an Amelia dress and that's my youngest's name. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they have an Amelia dress.
The Amelia dress is what got me too.
But it didn't look right on me. It made me look like I was in maternity clothes. So then it was the height of LuLaRoe, right? 2016,
2017 was like, yeah, that was the peak. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, I love these clothes, which I tend to be more like classic girl next door, like sweaters and ballet flats and jeans. That's like my uniform. And I bought so much LuLaRoe. Like at one point, my closet was 90% LuLaRoe. 90%. And I'd open it and I would feel totally overwhelmed and have decision fatigue because I'm like, what the heck am I going to wear today? Like, felt like a clown leaving because it's so not.
Yeah, you're like, should I add one more piece or take a piece off? Like, what is up? What is going on here?
Oh my gosh, your Halloween thing was hysterical. I was dying. But so I'd open my closet and I'd try to put pieces together and I put these long, I look at pictures of myself from then and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Because, and I have great legs, right? I carry my weight like in my stomach, the trapeze shirts, whatever, the perfect tee or whatever. The
perfect tee.
So bad. They add so much visual weight. My sister-in-law teaches dance and runs a dance studio and she swears by those and they look adorable on her. But not on me. I look like I've gained like 50 pounds. So I'm like this giant green giant walking around. So I liked the classic tees. Some of the leggings, I got rid of most of them because they were crazy. But my husband, bless his heart, to this day doesn't say anything about how I dressed back then. But sometimes he'd look at me and be like, what are you wearing?
Where are we going?
So I decided with my very good friend, she lived here at the time, we were going to do LuLaRoe together. And she is a mechanical engineer and has an MBA. She's a very smart woman. She's like, oh, I'll sign up with you. This is great. We'll go in the queue together. And I'm like, okay. But I met some very higher up LuLaRoe people. And I told them I want to join. I had a LuLaRoe party and then she decided to get out and I didn't see the writing on the wall. And it looked fun to me and glamorous that she's carrying all these IKEA bags of shit into my house. I'm like, that looks so fun. And so
not fun at all.
No, no. But she came to that party. She's like, we totally could do this. I'm like, but the buy-in is so expensive. And so we found somebody to sign up under who we purchased a ton of product from. And she was thrilled that we were going to do that. And then my mom died. So when my mom died, all the LuLaRoe ladies on this lady's team pulled together. It was very sweet. Pulled together money and sent me a Panera gift card for like $300 to help keep my family. Like, because my mom was in the hospital for 13 days and I was living on hospital food. And but they would check in often and be like, "How are you doing? Are you?" And I do think that they were genuine. I don't think that it was like, "Oh, she's a cute baby."
And I'll hop in here and say that most women in MLMs are like that. Because we're all looking for community. We're all looking for friends. We're all looking to help others. That's why we join these scams. And the scams, you know, milk us dry. But I have never met so many genuine people. Like when I was in MLM, and they're also out now, but like just really genuine people. And it's the bottom of the pyramid. It's the last ones in. It's not the tippity tops that's doing this. It's the people like you and me who see ourselves in those that are suffering and say, what can we do to help?
Exactly.
So I will say, absolutely, people that are in MLMs, the Huns, 99.7% of them are amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And they want to help, right? And so they sent me this gift card and it was well received. And we were, I don't even know what number we were in the queue. We were probably on that queue list for 2 months or so. And then at that point, I figured out that you can't pick your own patterns and what you were getting. And I had a closet full of LuLaRoe.
So you know what kind of patterns were available.
That I wasn't wearing. Yeah. And I would do the unicorn hunting and the whole nine yards. And so went into this queue and then they called me and they're like, "Hi, this is LuLaRoe. We're so excited to welcome you to the queue. We just need your credit card number." It's just like Lachey said in the documentary. Totally like that. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not going to be doing that." And she's like, "Oh." And I said, "I just changed my mind. Like, I'm not even wearing what's in my closet because I feel like a clown when I leave. And, you know, I'm just not going to do it." She goes, "Well, you realize that you're giving up your spot in the queue." And I said, "I totally realize that." I said, "But I feel like I'm dodging a bullet too." And she goes, "Okay, then." And so then she calls and goes, "Hell no, I'm not doing that." And the lady's like, "Well, you realize you're," she got really angry. And she goes, "You realize you're giving up your queue, your queue, and you're going to have to wait again if you change your mind. And, you know, this is a business and we're so busy and this is the one you should be in." And she gave her this whole spiel and just was not buying it. And she's like, "Nope, I'm good." And the lady got even more angry. She's like, "Okay, bye." She just hung up. So, but I just thought, she goes, "Girl, we dodged a bullet." With that, like the amount of investment just alone. And I had went and like gotten a line of credit or something like that she had started an Instagram for it. And I'm so glad we didn't.
You dodged a humongous bullet.
Well, and one of my best friends, she knew somebody, I don't know if it was on her street or her son's class or something. And this lady was always going live with her LuLaRoe, but it was all in like almost near her kitchen. And my friend's like, "How do these clothes not smell like whatever she's cooking in her house? Like, it's just weird."
They absolutely do.
It's weird.
They would tell us, like, if things smelled weird, we could Febreze them, throw them in the dryer for a couple minutes to like get the smell out, put them in the freezer overnight before you send. Ridiculous things.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it brought us to where we're at now. And I think you have a huge movement started and I'm trying to not buy. I do love Pampered Chef. I'm such a sucker for Pampered. I won't sign up. I don't cook that much or that well to sign up to do that. But
well, we'll just have to keep finding other brands that replace those things. It's kind of fun when you do that. We're like, "Ah, I can't buy that anymore. Let's find another brand." So, you know, I'm always trying to work with different companies that offer things that MLMs used to offer so that people have
options. That's a good idea.
Right.
So the Mary Kay Barbie, real quick. I can't leave her.
Oh,
behind.
Yes. We have to talk about this Mary Kay Barbie.
So,
I love it. I hate to say that I love it, but I want one of those. Like, I need a Mary Kay Star Consultant Barbie. Like, I just need it.
She even has a ladder on. Oh, this is awesome.
God, does she have a bumblebee?
So
She's got the red jacket, you guys, and she's got the ladder pin and a pearl necklace. And obviously, she has the
pearls of sharing. You would earn your earrings and your.
She's got the earrings on too.
She does. And she has nylons because in Mary Kay, the star can, well, she's a red jacket, which is the first leadership role. So she has her uniform of a black skirt and nylons. Oh, she even has a brush. I didn't notice that. And black heels. But we were encouraged to win her because Mattel had never made a Barbie with nylons before.
And I don't think Mattel's ever made a pyramid scheme Barbie either.
Yeah, it's something. I don't even, I think I looked up how much she was going for on eBay at one point. My husband's like, you're not selling that. I'm like, okay, well. So it's one of the few things I have left of prizes I've earned. Okay.
I love kitschy MLM graveyard stuff. I've started collecting it. I just think it's ridiculous. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's my shtick.
I have two sets of china. I have one I earned and then one we inherited because a sister lived in Indiana at the time. She's more than welcome to have it. It's china. It's a certain kind of china that was high end and it's pink and it's white and then it's pink rimmed and 14 karat gold or 18 karat gold rims. And I have a complete setting for, I think, 8 or 10 people of that. So that
sounds amazing too.
My sister-in-law needs to come and get that, get it out of my cupboard. But then I also have one that's just like everyday plates. And it says like, inspire, encourage, reward, like all they're around the, you know, the rim of the plate and the rim of the cup and all of that. I have Mary Kay silverware. It's actually weighted, like the fork is a nice weight. So I've kept it, but my kids are like, this is the Mary Kay silverware.
It's so weird that Mary Kay even has silverware. And things that these were prizes, like in the prize catalog that you could exchange your points for.
Yeah. Yeah. In that pamphlet thing. And so the different categories are all wholesale categories, but $3,000 of wholesale inventory and you recruited 2 qualified recruits, then you have 1200 extra points. So you would not be in the 3000, you would jump up to the 4800, which would get you, if you can see the place setting, that's
yeah, but okay.
So I had like 6 of those. So you could, your wholesale plus your qualified recruits was where you landed on that star consultant prize thing. And then you would order it online, I think, and they'd send it to you. Cheap jewelry. It's funny. I haven't opened this in forever. The other thing we were taught too is, I don't know if you've heard of Applause Magazine. It's a Mary Kay magazine.
Yes. But only because my aunt had them.
Like, yes.
And I saw them and yes, it's, oh my God. Yes.
I was looking to see if I had any to take pictures and send you, but I didn't. I got rid of almost all Mary Kay stuff. I have my scrapbook, but so the Applause Magazine was used as a recruiting tool. And it was actually very useful as a recruiting tool because it listed all of the top directors. I think it was down to $5,000, their commission checks for the previous month or two. Like in July, these directors. And so I would use it as a recruiting tool. And then the love bombing, all the, you know, the postcards and the go girl, what's this about a $200 class? I see a red hot car in your immediate future. You're motivated. Stay on target. It'll change your life. As Mary Kay says, you can do it.
But it's all just word salad. It's like, it is. You can do it. Okay, but how? Read the manual. Okay, but I did. Well, then you can do it. You're like, oh, God.
And one of the things when you're a director, you can go to Mary Kay's house, or you used to be able to, and sit in her bathtub. It was, I think, a heart shape or something like that. And so the directors would make this big deal about getting their picture taken in Mary Kay's bathtub.
Okay, but a heart-shaped bathtub sounds super cute.
Yeah. In my quest for directorship, I think one of the most toxic things that they told me to do that I actually did was write your debut speech. So a debut is when you've hit directorship, you invite all your friends and family and team and and your husband gets to introduce you and tell you how proud he is of you in front of all these people. And then you give a speech about how you got there. So I was encouraged to write that speech first, which was like 10 pages long. I wish I had it. I don't, because I'm sure it's just totally narcissistic. Practice that speech so I'd have it memorized when my debut came along, and it would encourage me to reach directorship, which it never, I mean, it didn't. It didn't happen.
I mean, that is so toxic. Here's the thing. People that are actually getting awards, not even they are always prepared, and they're mm-hmm. actually nominated and are like 1 out of 10, you might win. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't have anything prepared. Yet here in Mary Kay, this rank that 0.008, I don't even know, make, they're asking you to write out a speech for your debut. And mm-hmm. you said it was 10 pages long?
It was 10 pages long. So it was supposed to be 5 minutes. So I think it was double spaced, 10 pages long. And I had it on this cute paper that was going to be my debut invitations, and this little girl screaming. I mean, I wasted so much time doing this crap.
It's all
and my kids cost. Were at my feet while I was doing it. And
it's just busy work you'll never get back, money and energy you put in that you'll never get back. It's all sunk cost. You can't leave now. You're memorizing your debut speech. You can't leave now. You're only 100 steps away. Like, it's insane what they'll tell you to keep mm-hmm. you writhing on the hook just one day longer.
I'm so thankful that I got out before social selling on social media. I think that that would have, I know that I would have been good at it. And I'm not saying that in a conceited way. I learned from the best in sales, and that was my mom. My mom could, she was amazing in sales. And my brother and I both got it from her. But at the time, the time commitment of doing that social selling and stuff, it would have eaten up even more time and more FaceTime. And my kids would have seen me more on the phone than I already am because of real estate. I'm just so thankful. So thankful that I got out before that. I started reading Cultish and Ponzionomics. Very good. Very eye-opening.
A lot of information. And both of those books are very academic and very entertainment. I mean, Amanda Montel's fantastic and it is funny. And mm-hmm. Robert, if you know his humor, there is humor in it as well. But they're both more intellectual and information-based than, say, Sarah Edmondson's book or something else like that, where there's a little bit more of a story and, a personal thing. Those are just, I've had people go, I'm trying to read them. I'm not really, a factual person, and it's really tough. And I'm like, I know, I get it. And it is very school, very much this is just good information to know, and it is helpful. But sometimes it takes people a little longer.
I didn't have a chance to get it done.
Hey, guess what? You're no longer in an MLM cult, and you no longer have these rules and restrictions that you have to follow. So exactly. Get it done when you can, and it's okay. But that's the best part of being out of these things.
It really is, because I'm such a rule follower. So if they said, read this book, I would read that book. If they said go to this makeup training, I would go to the makeup training. And so much money is spent outside of what you're placing your wholesale orders. It's all those trainings and stuff too.
Yeah. So do it when you can, in the pockets of your time, Jeff, just the pockets of your time.
So that whole better to ask for forgiveness than beg for permission, regarding a spouse, regarding orders or seminars or meetings, et cetera, that's really just a divorce waiting to happen. And I'm so blessed that my husband followed his dad's lead on that. And, not saying it was easy, but just, I'm thankful that he put up with a lot.
I hear and read so many horror stories from partners who are like, I don't know what to do. I love this person, but I just found out they're hiding things. I just found out they're lying to mm-hmm. me. I just found out that there's a whole storage unit full of lipstick. You know what I mean? I don't know that, but you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. And absolutely, these companies don't care about you. They don't care about the family they say they do. They don't care about your relationship with your husband. The only thing they want is your life, your control. Whatever you give us, we'll take.
You're doing unpaid sales versus being a business owner, right? It's your commission-based sales. But then the love bombing and the narcissism that goes with that, and the trait and the MLMs live on that as well. The hyped up language, short-term sacrifice for long-term gain, boss babe, level up, show up to go up, fake it till you make it, saying it would create freedom in your life when it creates chaos.
Absolutely.
My world is so chaotic. Financial freedom, it preys on our desires to take care of our families. My sister-in-law said that one, as well as the recruiting events. They're usually a fun event so that they can manipulate you later with what you shared to get you to sign up. And if you're a realist, you're labeled negative. They don't like you to question what they're telling you. They often ask you to cut out friends and family that are questioning your new line of work. So
it's a cult. Those are all cult things. Those are all in Stephen Hassan's bite model. Every single one of them. It's insane.
It is. And I'm so thankful I'm out. And I'm thankful that you're doing the work that you're doing, because I think it's so important. I told my husband that I was coming on here. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I mean, he knew I was talking to you. He's like, well, I hope you're not just going to, you know, because he has fond memories, I think, of his mom being in Mary Kay. And that's fine. But not everybody's experience is the same. But the company will still do the same things to you that they did to me. And they've been to so many other people. Their retention is, you know, I think MLMs are dying. And I think that that's a really good thing.
Yeah. You know, and there are people that have wonderful experiences. Absolutely. I get that. I see, you know, maybe husbands or children that are only seeing the good and seeing, well, it was amazing. It paid the bills. We got to go on that trip. Wasn't it fun? Like, I don't understand why you hate it now. And it's not until we unpack all of the things that we went through and we put names to those feelings that we had going, I felt like this was kind of weird. And then someone else goes, me too. I felt that way too. Oh, I felt that way. I felt that way. And you're just like, wait a second. And all of a sudden you start to realize, oh crap, like this is a thing. And this is manipulation. And this is control. And you don't even realize it's control until someone opens your eyes and you're like, oh my God, the emperor is naked. And then you can't unsee it anymore. I think people, when they hear anti-MLM, they're like, but, and that's one thing, is like with the adding the compassion and the education and the understanding, I think we're ending even that stigma of anti-MLM is anti whatever, you know, like, I just want people to understand and see the red flags and hear stories like yours and connect with them and go, uh-oh, maybe I am in something that isn't really that great for me. Maybe I should do the numbers. Maybe I should talk to someone about this and really dive into this. Maybe I should ask a couple more questions. Are you ready to answer some rapid fire questions?
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, Jennifer, one word that encompasses how you feel about multi-level marketing.
Demoralizing.
That's a good one. A warning or a piece of advice to somebody who wants to join an MLM.
Do your research. And there's a lot of it to be found online, especially online, and talk to people. I mean, find all the information you can. But first and foremost, don't put your family's finances at risk for a pipe dream.
What is the worst MLM in your opinion?
Oh, they're tied. So I'd have to say Mary Kay and Amway. I was so many people from Amway have tried to recruit me over the years that, yeah, those two.
Fair enough. Those two are pretty bad. What is the hardest lesson that you learned while you were in MLM?
I have a lot of very good friendships. That's what I was going to say earlier too, was about friendship. Is that one of the hardest things was the people I thought were my friends when I left, I never heard from again. The people that I thought would show up when times were tough didn't show up. And the people I didn't think would show up showed up. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
And then ending on a high note, the positive takeaway from your time in multi-level marketing.
I don't think I would be the realtor I am today without what I learned in Mary Kay from sales and learning to sell to different people. And I don't have a huge real estate business. I usually just do friends, family, and referrals, and I do pretty well on that. But the people that want to work with me because I'm genuine and authentic. And my motto is you never settle on a home. You just don't, even if the price is right. And in this market, you don't settle. So I think that I did have one other really small story to share about the crazy that I just saw. So when my mother-in-law passed away in 2003, She was a sales director. So all these sales directors came from all over because they knew her. She was on stage at seminar and she did really well and they knew her and loved her. And so they came to her funeral and there were pink Cadillacs galore and they all showed up. And then we never really heard from them again. I think one lady sent me a card on the 1 year anniversary of her passing, but we never really heard from any of those other sales directors again.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing these things. Of course. I know it's your family. You were incredibly respectful. I don't think anybody's going to listen to this and be like, how dare that girl? I think it was fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Being so candid and vulnerable and sharing your story. I know, because this is what I do, that there will be people that hear your story and connect with it.
I hope so.
100%. Yes. Always.
It's like sometimes things, you know, that you think are weird and important, other people are like, yeah, that's not so bad. But it was definitely a journey of 15 years. If I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have done it, even for the relationships that I built in that thing. So it is what it is. I have a Barbie to show for it.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast and my advocacy at The Real Roberta Blevins. You can find all of the links to the social accounts in our show notes. And if you just listened to that incredible story and you thought, oh my God, I have a story just like that that needs to be told, hit me up, therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. I would love to have you on the show to share your story and start your journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Huns.